worshiping the Lord and declaring his goodness, his worthiness. Isn't he awesome? Now think about this. Before I get into this, do you realize that God is well pleased with his work? He has not done anything wrong, right? We know that. We say that. He's a good father, and he's never done anything short of perfection. Okay, just so remember, everything he has made right and perfect, right? Nod your head, and we're gonna get to some more of that in a minute. Father, we do love you and we praise you. I thank you for today. I thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we thank you. This is the day you have made, and we rejoice and we are glad in it. We thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The strength that we need for today is inside of us, and we thank you. And we open up our heart and we lean in and we want to dig out that truth. You are our God, you are our King, and we trust in you. Others trust in chariots, others trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. You have never failed. You have never, never failed. You've never been late. You are always on time. You are always able, Lord, so we trust you, and we're going to follow you. We're going to learn to follow you, to follow your will, to follow your purpose, Lord. We know that you're not done on the earth, and you desire to use us that the gospel would be preached, that there would be disciples made, Lord. So we thank you that we are your disciples, we hear your voice, and we follow you. And we surrender to the work that you want to do in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. We thank you for it, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This morning, now, I want to encourage you, we're going to tap into something in regards to spirit, soul, and body, and we're going to show you some things that are going to help you answer some of the tough questions. I actually have one of the tough things that people look at in the scripture, and they're like, well, how do you reconcile these? They seem to go against each other. They seem to have conflict, and yet we know God's word is truth. And God's word is absolute. It is right. We're the ones that misunderstand. We're the ones that misapply. We have to learn to understand. We have to learn to go with what God's word says, not what anybody else says. Amen? Just think how easy it would be if we actually only learn to hear the shepherd's voice and follow him and not let anything else get in our way. Amen. Not let traditions of men, not let the doctrines of men get in our way, but go with what God's word says. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is where all of this is coming from, in understanding that we are a three-part being. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." So God is doing a work in us. And as this revelation that we are a spirit being and we have a soul and we live in an earth suit, as we begin to understand this, as we begin to allow this revelation to change the way we think, the way we look at things, our whole lives begin to be changed and transformed. When you look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, let's go here. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And we've looked at this over and over, and we're building on some things. If we're in Christ, remember, we're in Christ, we've come out of the world, and we're in Christ, we're a new creation. And so what does that new creation look like? It is made righteous and truly holy. And here it says that old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. In Ephesians 4:24, I am going to give a lot of scripture. I will come back. I'm going to lay some scripture out, and we're going to connect some dots. So just write them down. Buckle with me. I've got them on the screen for you so that you can see them. And I admonish you to go back and meditate on these scriptures this afternoon, tomorrow morning. Open up the Word of God and go back to these scriptures and let the Holy Spirit who lives in you paint a picture of what this looks like. Not what you think, what Christ in you thinks. Not what you think this scripture says, what it actually says. Okay? Where was I? Okay. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God. Now, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. I'm reviewing a few things. That you put on the new man which is created according to God. Your new man, your new spirit. Remember, we're learning on Wednesday nights that your old man was killed. Your new man was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is why we can say that in Christ Jesus, I am righteous and truly holy. I stand complete in Him. And knowing the difference between your spirit and your soul helps you begin to walk it out. Because now in your soul, when there is no joy, when there is a personal hurt that someone hurts you with, you don't follow and listen to that part. You go, no. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And you dig. We talked about digging in and mining out the goodness of God. And this is what it looks like to be doing that. But you have to go to these verses and begin to let them transform your life. Whenever it makes that noise, I have to turn it. Where was I at? Ephesians 4:24, we read that. All right, that you were made according to God in true righteousness and true holiness. Do you realize that, okay, you were made in true righteousness and holiness. Let me look at, we'll come back to this again. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, that's God, made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I need you to understand this is present tense. This isn't in the sweet by and by. I'm going to show it to you. Did you pull up the King James one in that one as well? Give it to me in King James because I know it's a little more clear in the King James version in this verse. For he hath made, past tense, him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made, present tense, the righteousness of God in him. Pardon me. Notice here in the King James, it spells it out a little more clear so that we don't think, because in the New King James, it does say that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. And people who don't understand spirit, soul, and body think that you're going to become righteous when we all get to heaven. We're going to become righteous later. I'm going to show you how that's not complete. It's easy to believe the first half of this verse. It's easy to believe that he made him, throw the New King James back up here for me if you would please. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. We all can grab a hold of that and we can believe the first half of this, but we struggle believing the second half. And the reason we struggle to believe the second half is only because we've given room to bad teaching, men telling us different. This clearly says, and so why can't we believe the second half? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Are we in him? Then what part of us would not be righteous and completely holy? Our soul and our body. Ephesians, and I didn't give them this, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace you have been saved, but I want that last part. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's the last part, I believe it's verse 9. For we are created in him We are his workmanship created in him, in Christ Jesus. Do you realize he's never made anything wrong? He's made everything perfect, including us, in our spirit. In our spirit, we've been made righteous and truly holy. There's no mistakes. We are righteous. We are complete. We have been made holy in our spirit, in our inner man. And as we truly understand this revelation, then we can actually understand more scripture and the things that seem to make a disconnect at times. So, look here with me in, I showed you 2 Corinthians 5:21 in both the King James. So go with me to Ephesians 1 and look at verse 5 with me. Ephesians 1:5. Ephesians 1:5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And you guys see a theme going on here? Okay, according to his will, to the praise of his glory, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. He has made us accepted in the beloved. I'm going to read it again. Having predestined us to adoption as sons. And if you don't know what that means, I encourage you. Audrey Mack broke this down for the ladies, did an amazing job, and you can go back and watch that. She helped us understand what this adoption really is and what it looks like. To adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It is God's good pleasure, it is his will that we be made righteous and true. Holy, that we represent, not we don't just represent him, we've been made new to be sons and daughters of God. Okay, and that we have to begin to understand we are accepted in the beloved. Now, this word I'm going to show it to you in another place, Luke chapter 1, verse 28. This is pretty neat here. Having come in, the angel said to her, this is talking about Mary, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Blessed are you among women. The word accepted and the word highly favored are the same in the Greek. It's the only place that this word is used in the Bible. Two places. Highly favored and accepted in the beloved are the same words. And they're used here. So if you've been accepted, you're highly favored. Does that make sense? Accepted and highly favored. Don't worry about what other men have said. This is what God's word says. To be highly favored and you are accepted in the Lord. He actually not just loves you, but he likes you. He desires you. He desires you to be with him and in him and for him. He desires to commune with you. Look at it this way. However you have a best friend or a spouse or whatever, they want to be with you. God wants to be with you more. He wants you to be with him more. Does that make sense? Now, if we begin to understand that and we looked at this before in Ephesians 4:24, I'm going to read it to you again, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Your new man was created in favor with God. You have favor with God. You are adopted. You are highly esteemed. 1 John 4:17, and we looked at this last week, as Jesus is right now, as Jesus is, so are we in this life. So if Jesus is righteous and truly holy, nod your head, he is, so are we right now. So are we right now. And you go, well, wait a minute, I'm looking and, you know, I've got a zit or I'm overweight or I'm too tall, I'm too short or I feel bad or we can come up. That's all in your soul. That's all in your emotions. That's all in your five senses. Yes, you may be a few pounds overweight, but that doesn't change who you are in Christ Jesus. You are righteous and truly holy. You are a new creation, and you were created by God, for God, and you have an earth suit that needs adjustments. You have a soul that needs adjustments. Does that make sense? All right. So continue on with me in 1 Corinthians. We looked at this last week, 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. When we begin to understand that God sees Jesus as he sees Jesus as the right hand, he looks at the earth and he sees Jesus in us. We're the same. That's what he sees. It's us that get caught up in all the other stuff. Amen. So let's look at Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13, I want to help you understand what this means and how you don't have to give up hope. Because all of us understand that we feel trapped. Has anybody, before I read that, has anybody known of someone who has had what we call a jailhouse experience with God? Nod your head. If you've been here over a year, you've all met my brother Sean, who had a real in-house experience with God. Okay? He did a lot of things that most of us just, we don't even want to talk about because we know they're bad. All right? Well, he went, and even though he was brought up in church, he knew right and wrong, he pushed all that away. He did not want the things of God. He wanted the things of the world. But when he was in prison, he called out, and he had a jailhouse experience, if you will, and his life was transformed. He became a new creation. But do you realize when he woke up the next morning, he looked in the mirror, and he was the same weight. He was just as ugly. I know he's probably listening. He was just as hurt. He was just as angry. He still had the battle scars, okay? He still had all the old habits that he had before, but in Christ Jesus, he was new. He was a new creation. So how do you get that new creation? Look here in Ephesians 1:13. What do you do so that you don't lose hope? Because when you look around, when you have a problem and you call on the name of the Lord and you get that help that you're looking for, but in the physical realm, you still have all your issues. You still have. Some of you got saved before your spouse, and you thought getting saved would get you a new spouse. You woke up and the spouse was still there. No, it doesn't happen that way. But look here. In him, now look at this. You're going to see a couple things. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What does it mean to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? I don't think the microphone likes it when I move around up there, so I'm just going to stay down here and let them do that. Now I'm going to read it to you again, and I want you to notice a couple things. First, in verse 13, after in him you also trusted. You trusted. Have you put your trust in the Lord? After you heard the word of truth. Notice you have to hear the word of truth, and then you trust in the Lord with all your might, with all your soul, and with all your life. The gospel of your salvation, in whom you also having believed. So you trust because you heard, and you believe, and then you are sealed. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. This is the same thing that we use, that people use when they are canning. They can and they seal it. They seal the lid, vacuum packed. Nothing on the outside can get in and nothing on the inside can get out. Now, when you get this illustration in your heart and in your mind, as a new creation, I am righteous and truly holy. And even though the world may be imploding, my heart is messed up, I'm hurting, that doesn't change who I am in Christ Jesus. I am still righteous and truly holy. God sees me as righteous and truly holy. He loves me because I'm righteous and truly holy. He loves me, he likes me, he made me righteous and truly holy. Even though all of this, it's like if you take a vacuum sealed meal and you drop it into a container of gasoline, how many of you trust the seal? See, it's hard to trust the seal. Can you believe and put your faith in what God's word said? See, God's word says you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You're sealed. So do you trust the seal? It's hard when you take if I took a great lasagna that Heather made and I vacuum seal it and then I let my son drop it into a can of diesel and then I take it out, do I want to eat the meal? Do I want to eat the meal? I got to trust the seal. This is what God's word says. Can you believe what God's word says? That you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Is there anything too difficult for God? Can he break the seal? Can anything break the seal? No. All right. Then you are righteous and truly holy. Now that we're all on the same page, look at here with me at James 4:17. Because, see, we're always thinking God is dealing with our sin. But we don't understand sin the way even God looks at sin. See, we've read in 1 Corinthians that Jesus became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, look at this definition of sin. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So sin isn't just us falling short or us disobeying what God has said. Okay? Now hold with me. There's therefore no condemnation. I'm gonna make a point and I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna help you walk it out. I'm gonna help you be an overcomer. You just gotta stick with me for a minute here. This says that therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Your sin does not make you unrighteous. God made you righteous and truly holy. What happens on the outside does not affect what's on the inside. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. But do we believe it? And do we live like it? Do we walk in it? Do we give grace to others in this? To him who knows, because see, look, it says, to him who knows to do good. I'll use me because I ain't going nowhere. How many of y'all know I'm willing to admit I don't always love Heather like Christ loves the church? I fall short. I have not always loved Heather as Christ loved the church because Christ has been a whole lot more patient with me than I intend to be with Heather. Okay? But that's on me. That's my soul realm. But that hasn't changed who I am in Christ Jesus. I am righteous and truly holy. And I need to act like it. I need to live like it. So I strive and I rebuke the temptation to be frustrated. Okay? And I grab a hold of and I dig out the truth of the God's word that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And therein I can love my wife as Christ loved the church. Okay? There you go. So many of you, I have a number of examples here. I think everybody gets the point that sin isn't just not obeying God. Sin is also, if you know to do good and you don't do it, it is also sin, right? Now, go with me to an interesting passage, and I want to help you with this. Oh, hallelujah, we're going to make it. 1 John 3, look at 1 John 3, verse 9. 1 John 3:9, whoever has, look at this, whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. What do you do with that scripture? Do you really know this scripture? Have you dug in? We talked about digging. This is getting the excavator out and digging into God's word to find out who you are in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, if you'll walk this out with me, we're hitting pay dirt here. This says, whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed, that's God's seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. See, if you understand in the revelation of spirit, soul, and body, if you really understand how this works, when you understand God's word and the revelation has come to you, not you just thought about it, not, oh, I heard this, oh, Pastor so-and-so spoke on this, or Brother so-and-so teaches this. No, 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 you know. It has come alive in you. I am a spirit being. I have a soul, and I live in an earth suit. You can begin to understand scriptures like this, because we look around, whoever is born of God does not sin. Well, who's born of God? The real me. So the real me, the spirit that I am in Christ Jesus, does not sin. So who's sinning? My soul and my body. My soul and my body. My soul follows after lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'll just try to keep it simple so nobody gets real upset with me. Now, so let's deal with the elephant in the room, okay? And I don't always do this, but I want you to look at some passages that people think, well, what about this? So let's go to this. Go with me to 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Do we see that there's a conflict? How do we understand? How do we know? How do we balance out these scriptures? Let me give you one more. 1 John 2 comes right after 1 John 1. 1 John 2, verse 1. My children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. That you may not sin. And if anyone sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. Now, so what do you do with these scriptures? We have one here, and we read it. I'll read it again. 1 John 3. Verse 9, remember 1 John 3:9 comes after 1 John 1:8-9, 1 John 2:1, then we get over to 1 John 3. We just looked at them in the opposite order. Look at 1 John 3:9 again. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. When we begin to understand the difference between spirit, soul, and body, we can begin to understand who's sinning. We begin to understand. See, even in church we'll sing songs like, I've been redeemed. Well, you've been redeemed a third. I mean, you've been redeemed. Christ has paid for it, but you don't have your new soul and you don't have your new body. But as a believer, you, one third of you has been made righteous and truly holy. While you're walking on the planet, while you're here, our number one thing is to now mine that righteousness out, dig it out, believe it, and allow it to grow. See, remember, think of yourself as that vacuum-sealed lasagna in there that's about to go into the diesel. Okay? You're the lasagna, and you're going into diesel, and you don't want to be defiled. Okay? So if you're vacuum sealed, all of that nasty can't get to you. But the more you grow in grace, the more you grow in faith, the stronger your faith. Now that lasagna isn't just a, Heather's not here, so I'm going to use her. It's not a Heather-sized portion. It's a teenage portion. It's a big boy portion. It's a hungry man portion. And now when that is dipped into the 5-gallon can of diesel, how many of y'all know if I drop a Heather-sized meal into the can of diesel, only a little diesel's coming out? Making sense? You following me? Are you with me? I got a can of diesel filled up totally. I got the world. It's filled up. It's filled up of gross. And I'm dropped in it. But I'm just a little bite size. I'm just a little bite size. How much diesel's coming out? Just a little bit. But if I'm a little bit bigger, how much of it's coming out? If I'm even bigger, how much of it's coming out? Okay, you following me now? As we grow in faith, this is why we have scriptures that says, be strong in the Lord. Fight the good fight of faith. Let your faith grow. Well, faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word of God. As we hear the word of God and we believe the word of God, our lives begin to grow from the inside out. We are transformed. Our soul realm that was messed up is less messed up. We no longer think this way. We no longer think the way we used to think. This is where, yes, we were set free to worship instead of we were just set free from drugs and alcohol. I wasn't just set free from drugs and alcohol. I was set free to worship God. If I only know that I'm set free from drugs and alcohol, I may never worship God. I'll just be continually thankful that I no longer have to go here. Praise God, you will get to heaven. But how about we worship Him? How about we know Him? How about we fulfill the call, the gifts, the purpose we have here? But that doesn't happen until we began to walk in faith. We study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Not so that we can put a plaque on the wall, but that we become larger. And that when we're dipped into the darkness, then we're brighter. We're vacuum sealed, but if we don't know how sealed we are, we get discouraged. If we don't understand how sealed we are, then we go, well, maybe it didn't take. We start making excuses about how we're not righteous and truly holy. Instead of being able to be quick to repent and say, you're right, I was wrong. I fell short. And not because I fell short necessarily, I disobeyed God. How about the fact that I knew what to do and I didn't do it? I knew that I get to love God, to love Heather as Christ loved the church, but I failed. But God's not holding it against me. There's going to be consequences of it, and I want crop failure over here. But God is not against me. God is for me. He loves me, and greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can love my wife as Christ loved the church. I can love others as Christ says. It doesn't, thank you, Jesus. See, we have got to understand we're sealed. We're sealed. All the garbage on the outside can't corrupt your new man. But how many of y'all know that if you're just this big and you're going to get dipped into the world, you're not going to have a lot of influence? God still loves you. It's just like people that say, well, if I commit murder and then I ask Jesus, forgive me, do I still have to go to jail? Yeah, you get to go to jail. Murder is still wrong. I picked the big one because nobody's thinking of it. You just entered jail ministry the hard way. We could have got you into jail ministry a much easier way if you really thought you were called to jail ministry. I'd rather send you in instead of let them take you in. Does that make sense? So what's transforming us? See, as we grow in faith, we grow in knowledge of the Word of God, and we put our trust and our faith in Him, we begin to grow, and now our growing begins to change everything from the inside out. Amen? So I want to give you a pop quiz to see how well you were paying attention. Put up 2 Corinthians 5:21, and let's look at this. 2 Corinthians 5:21, who was made sin for us? Jesus was made sin for us. And why was He made sin for us? Why was He made sin? You believe the first half, don't you believe the second half? He was made sin for us that we might be made righteous. And He likes His righteousness that He made us. He is well pleased with His workmanship. Do we believe that He made us righteous and He is pleased with His workmanship? Let's look at Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13. In whom did we trust? In whom did we trust? Jesus Christ. What kind of word did you hear? The word of truth. Very good. See, it's an open book test. You guys should get this. What happened once you believed? You were sealed. Do you believe? Can you believe this over religion? I've showed it to you in the word. And I've showed you even how, well, you don't understand, Pastor. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I know. Yes, you are correct. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But if you're born again, you are righteous and truly holy. And that's how God sees you. That's how He relates to you. That is His only relationship to you now. See, when we really believe and understand, God's not dealing with your sin. He's not the one reminding you of your sin. It's your conscience and it's the world. It's the accuser of the brethren. And we'll get into some of that later. I'm supposed to be reviewing here. All right. 1 John 3:9. 1 John 3:9. Let's look at this. Answer this question. That blank is blank of blank. That blank is blank of blank does not commit sin. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin. What could it be talking about? Has to be Christ in you, the hope of glory. Has to be your new creation. Has to be your spirit. I'm not saying we don't repent. We do repent. We're quick to repent, but it's our soul realm. We followed our soul realm. Our soul and our body are sinning. We have not received a new body. And if you don't understand that, just go look in a mirror. Hallelujah. And if you'll look in the mirror of God's word, you'll realize that your soul's not redeemed yet either. Does that make sense? That's really the truth of that. Number 7 here. What remains His seed? Oh, what then remains? Sorry, it is His seed. I gave you the answer. Let's try another one. Therefore, can you sin? Can you, a new creation, sin? Not your new creation, your soul. So be quick to repent. It's really actually when you begin to understand. See, this is why we don't have to lose hope. Because we've been set free to worship. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And all of this stuff, it only affects our soul realm. If you do stupid, you reap stupid. We've talked about this. But God's not the one pouring stupid out on you. He's not up in heaven going, well, I told Paul to get up and empty the dishwasher before Heather got up. First of all, God knows me enough that He's going to have to yell louder. That I'm probably not going to hear that, but that's not even His concern. Yes, He wants me to love Heather as Christ loved the church. And things like that show that I love her. Is it making sense? Just trying to keep it simple. Did you learn anything? Hallelujah. Do you really believe you're sealed? You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. That is the goal. Go back and go over these scriptures. Let the Holy Spirit paint the picture in you. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. We're going to dig this out some more. We're going to learn why we're accepted in the brethren, why we are eternally saved. We're gonna dig it out. We're gonna find out what God's word says, and we're gonna kick out all the unbelief. Amen. Let's stand and let's pray. I want to bless you and thank you. We'll be here. Somebody text Pastor Mark and let him know we're done. If you need prayer for anything, you have any needs, I know Gus is right here. He'll be here, and we would love to pray with you. We would love to bless you and help you as you grow. The very reason Extended Hands is here is to see people transformed, their lives transformed by the Word of God. I need you to understand that. That is why we gather. That is why we spend 20, 30 minutes worshiping. That's why we spend 45 minutes reading His Word, that our lives will be transformed by the Word of God. Amen? Father, I love you and I praise you. I thank you for all that are here. I thank you for all that are listening. No matter what time, what day it is, I thank you that you are with us, that you love us, that you have called us out of darkness. And so, Father, we put our faith and our trust in you. If there's anybody who's listening to this right now and you've never given your heart to Jesus, you don't know what it means to be born again, I encourage you right now to stop and just repeat this prayer with me. Father God, I love you, and I receive the gift of salvation. I receive Jesus as my Savior. I know that He became sin for me, and now I become the righteousness of God. I have been made righteous and truly holy. I put my trust in you, and thank you for sealing me with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for helping me to understand these things and grow in grace and in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go with God. Love somebody. Encourage them. Yes. Let me exit the crowd. Thank you.